Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter, and I'm also a broker at Daniels Trading, where I work with speculators and hedgers in the futures and option markets, anything from online trading to broker-assisted. If you are a client and you like the ideas that I'm talking about, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email anytime. For those of you who would like to work with me, my contact information is in the show notes on the website. My number here is 312-706-7610. Feel free to contact me anytime. Let's get into it. We had the WASD report today. I'm going to get into the macro markets real quick. The Dow and the stock market's down big time today after being almost unchanged on the year. We're a little bit better than unchanged. I think NASDAQ hit all-time highs. We're down about 5% in the stock market, so that's a big move. I mean, that is a big move today. So what's going on? Stock market definitely went up too far too fast, right? And here we are, probably coming back to the 200-day moving average. And that's where we are right around now. We'll see if the 200-day moving average holds. Two, there is more the coronavirus. There is now, I want to call it a second wave, but there's speculation on it. And, you know, now the states are opening up, we're seeing more cases of coronavirus now popping up. And the market's concerned, are there going to be shutdowns? Like, how long is this going to last? Like, will we flatten the curve? We're going to have to flatten it again. And it's spooking the market, and I understand why. So today we have crude oil down like $3. We have the stock market down almost 5%. It really is something. I mean, from the lows, the S&P lows of like 22 or 2300 to go up to 3300, it's a 50% gain from low to high here over the past couple of months, a few months. So that really is something, you know, to see. And of course, the market's going to come down after a run like that. I'm not always a big fan of selling stocks. I am always... And with S&P futures too, like I always prefer to buy the dips. And if the market's coming down, you just kind of let it go and just wait for the uptrend again. That's the way I've always liked to play it. The reason being is the stocks do tend to be a very long-only minded market, especially on the cash side. I've talked about this many times, but it's a lot of money flow. Like every month, retirement funds, pension funds, investment money flows into the, a lot of times flows into the stock market. It isn't like commodities where for every long there's a short. We don't use up a majority of the stocks every year like we use up a majority of the corn we produce, right? So I prefer to be on the long side, buy the dips, sell into resistance. If you wanted to try buying around the 200-day moving average with a tight stop, go for it. You know, you can't risk a whole lot here. I like the micro contracts. But we could certainly come back another 5%. Like we could have a 20, you know, especially if the economic numbers stay this way, and you can make the case that we did come back. We probably fell too far. Like we went, you know, we had a, I don't know, we went from 3,400 to 2,200 in the S&P. So that's a 33% drawdown. That was probably too far, and now that we've gone up 50% from the lows, we've probably gone up too high. I would like to see us, you know, I could see us being down another 5% in the stock market. But at some point, there is value there. And again, I'm never the biggest fan of selling the stock market. I'm sure you can make a lot of money doing it, but just the nature of the mechanics of it, I'd rather just be buying the dips and selling into the rallies. In terms of crude oil, I'm just going to treat that as a macro market today because it's down $3, and it's really been following the stock market here today. And it's the same deal. You know, we're going to be coming up on the 20-day moving average. There's some concern when crude oil does get into the 40s, it could bring on more production. So it has to live in this $35 to $40 range, where below $35, it seems too cheap. Above $40, you start to encourage more production. So that is the thinking right now with the crude oil market. So stocks down 5%, crude's down like 7%. And this all has to do with really the Fed coming out yesterday. I think I did write about this in the newsletter, with their projections and GDP being down 5 or 6%. I think it was 6% this year, and then coming back up 5% next year, and unemployment by the end of the year being just under 10%, and then 6 or 5% the year after. So, you know, the Fed is, and interest rates being low for the next couple of years. So the Fed was really projecting a low, or a bearish kind of longer-term outlook, or more bearish than I think the market was projecting, where the market probably got a lot ahead of itself, right? So that's what we're seeing now. We're just naturally seeing that correction. That's what happens in these crises. At first, we come down too much, and then the recovery is too big, and then we come down again, and it's a little bit, you know, it's going to oscillate like that until we kind of find a little bit of an equilibrium here. But going forward, what's going to be interesting is as these states open up, do the coronavirus cases escalate? Do we flatten the curve? Do we have a situation where we have to go back to that and try to flatten the curve again? I don't think we can take another shutdown in this country. So there's just a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty leads to selling. That's what's going on right now. So that is the macro market picture, and that's what we need to keep an eye on. Now, switching over to the WASDE report. As far as crude oil goes, if we get into the low 30s again for December, I like buying it. And I'll send a text out to my client list and an email out. And if you're a client, you don't get those, let me know. I will make sure you're on it. I just need to know that you want to receive it. Because it's one thing for me to send a Turner's Take email out. It's another thing for me to blow up, you know, I don't want to be blowing up anyone's phone. So anyways, just contact me directly about that. And that's my kind of thoughts on crude. We'll probably take a look at some of the crude oil spreads too. If some of the D's versus farther out months present a good value, we'll look into that. But right now they don't. But they certainly could. Let's switch on over to the WASDE report. I've been liking rice, I've been liking bean oil, I've been liking beans over corn, we've been bearish on corn, a couple of different things. And then we had the report today, and we're going to have a pretty critical couple of weeks here in the grain market. So first let's tackle the WASDE, not a big deal. June report's usually a yawner as we get into, let's say, maybe more summer weather market. So right now the WASDE came and went, didn't have any big surprises. Maybe you can make a case that the world global wheat stocks were higher than anticipated. That would probably be the headline, but not as many people care about the wheat market right now. But that was a big one. You know, the world ending stocks, we were expecting about 307 million metric tons world ending wheat stocks for a new crop 2021 year. Came in at 316. So over 8 million metric tons missed to the bearish side, to the build in the stocks. Not great. It's probably why wheat's down the most today. Actually, it's definitely why wheat really was a dog, and really explains that one. In terms of corn, you know, ending stocks were a little bit lower than expected in old crop and a little bit in new crop. What was interesting is the USDA actually reduced production for old crop a little bit, maybe signaling the quarterly stocks will be a little bit lower than expected too. Maybe a lot of people thought the USDA overstated corn last year, and maybe that shows up in the quarterly stocks report. So we did see a little bit of an adjustment there on that. Ethanol did not come down as much as people thought. USDA only ramped it down 50 million. A lot of people looking for 100, 150. The idea is the USDA will just keep on ramping down ethanol right into the end of the marketing year, which would be the August-September time frame, maybe like 50 million a month. So what's interesting is the production came down a little bit, but so did ethanol, evened it out, and then not a whole lot of change to the new crop. Same acres, same yield. And then with soybeans, Wasn't a whole lot changed in there. That was pretty much the same. The market was looking for a build in stocks, and we didn't get it. What is interesting is now we've got these next couple of weeks. So what's going to happen here in the grain markets? One, the weather. So the weather is hot and dry. There's some concerns about a ridge. And the problem with a ridge is it can keep hot and dry weather in one place or over a large space for a long period of time. And that is going to be a concern, and that is going to be the weather premium. So seasonally, in the last, you know, in June, we tend to make the highs in the corn market for the weather risk, right? So that's what's probably about to happen. What's going to happen over the next week or two as we take a look at the, you know, 6 to 10 day, you know, the 14 day forecast, all of that, where is there's going to be rain or not. The models are looking hot and dry for the next week. So it actually cools throughout the weekend and then start being hotter next week and still pretty dry. So that could cause some crop stress, and that's going to put some premium in the markets, and that will probably also cause the funds to cover some. So as long as we don't think, you know, the crops go into a hell in a handbasket, and there's a lot of good areas out there, you know, the market will shrug it off. But in the meantime, we can definitely see some rallies. So if you are short the new crop, you can. I always say this, you know, we sell new crop throughout the year, and if you're ever worried about a summer drought or something like that, buy a little new crop. Hey, this is Craig real quick, just cutting into the podcast. I realized after editing here that I'm saying buy new crop. What I really want to say is buy old crop. We sell a lot of new crop throughout the year. And during times when we think there are these seasonal windows coming where we could get a rally, especially something now where it's June and you get the weather premium and you can get the rallies, and this is usually when we make highs in corn, you can buy old crop during these periods. So what we like to do during the year is sell the new crop and collect basically the carry. And if there are times during the year where we think we can get a spike upward or it's very critical in the weather, we can always hedge that a little bit by buying old crop. All right, thanks. And now would be the time. If you ever wanted to buy new crop or buy calls, you know, short-dated calls to get you through the next couple of weeks, you know, the reason why we sell, you know, the futures all year round with farmers to gain that, basically the premium of the carry. You know, there are a couple of times a year where it can rally. This could be it. I got no problem on a spec play or a hedge play just to buy a little bit of old crop here for the next couple of weeks just to see how the weather goes. Again, I want to stay short December and short the calls that we have on December. But you can make a case. This is the one time a year or a couple of times a year where if you want to be long a little old crop against anything that's longer term short new crop, now would be the time to do that. And where how far could July go up? I mean, we're at 329 right now. There's probably a lot of resistance in July in that 335 area. That was the old resistance. You know, and it was going way back to. So that would be an interesting point. You know, corn's going to have a tough time, the new crop, getting through 350 if it gets up there too, unless it gets real hot and dry and there's real stress out there. So that seems to be the focus of the grain markets. Wheat is going to have a tough time. That is a huge number that came out today for global ending stocks. It's just going to be tough for exports in the United States. And I think we saw the hard red winter wheat, Kansas City down 11 today. Soft red winter wheat, the Chicago was down six or seven cents. All really has to do with the build in global stocks. Going forward, what's going to be interesting too about the end of the month is we're going to have this quarterly stocks report. Did the USDA overstate production? That could be a little bit bullish for corn. We're going to have planting report on the last day of June also. What's interesting about that is there's a lot of speculation, and I understand where it's coming from, that corn acres will come down and soybean acres will go up. Corn acres were 97 million on the WASDE today. There's a lot of thought it could be 95. I've seen 94. I've seen 95.5. And then soybeans going from 83.5 million acres to 84, 85. Now, that would be a little bearish. Beans be a little bullish corn. It wouldn't be crazy bullish or bearish either way. You know, a million acres of soybeans go. If we do have a million more acres of soybeans at 50 BPA, you know, that's just adding 50 million bushels to the stocks. It's not the end of the world. With corn, if you lose 2 million, let's say 2 million acres at about a 180, which is called a 180 yield to make the math easy on me. I know it's 179.5, but 180 times 2 million acres. Yeah, you know, it's 360 million. Right now, the carryout for new crop is 3 billion, 3.3 billion. You lose 2 million acres, you know, now it's 3 billion. Still implies $3 corn at the end of the year, but it could give us a little bit of a rally to sell into between the acreage and, let's say, get some summer stress on the crop. For corn to get really bullish or to change here, just consider this. Let's say we plant 95 million acres, so we're harvesting about 87.5, and the yield is 175. All right, let's say we 175. Ending stocks are still about 2.7 billion, 2.8 billion. Still implies a harvest low of December futures, you know, 320 around. So still lower. We could get a rally, though, to 360 or 370 in that kind of situation at the height of the... Actually, 350 to 360 makes more sense. If we thought, let's say it just stops rain... What are we? It's June 11th. Let's say for the next month it stops raining and we're at a 169 yield. Ending stocks are 2.2 billion, which puts December corn at harvest price about 350. You get December highs of like, I don't know, 370, 380 in that case. And again, now we're talking like a 169 yield. I mean, with the soil conditions and the seed technology, it just seems like a tough ask. But the market knows that, and that's why we're seeing some risk premium built into the market here. Just looking at the forecast and if there's a ridge. If we had, last year we had a 167.8. So let's just do that. 160, what's a repeat of last year? 167.8. Now, get that. 167.8 puts us still over at a 2 billion carryout. So we can have a repeat of last year's crop, a 167 yield, and end lose 2 million bushels. I'm sorry, 2 million acres, and still be over 2 billion ending stocks. So, you know, 2 billion ending stocks has always been, for us, this like kind of 350 to 360 front month, like lows, right? While the highs can be $4. You know, or maybe a little bit higher like that. Remember when corn was trading between like that $4 to $4.15 range? You know, a couple of years ago, it seemed like the new crop always stayed in there. You always had a chance to sell, and then it came back down. That's when ending stocks are around $2 billion. So to get just back to that phase of life for corn, we've got to lose a couple of million bushels, and yield's got to come down 12 bushels average. So, I mean, which I guess can happen if it doesn't rain for the next month, right? I think that. But what if it does? If it does rain, we have 95 million. Let's say we are close to a trend line yield. Let's say we're 170. I've actually seen a lot of 179. So let's say we're at 179. We do get some rain. The crop looks good. We're still at a 3.1 billion. And that's without any ethanol loss. I'm basically, on that calculation, 3.1 billion, I'm also saying, well, I know we're going to lose a couple of million bushels to the ethanol demand for old crop, but I'm also saying the USDA probably underestimated last year's crop, and they're going to take some production out as we go along here. So we're still around 3 billion, most likely. 3 billion is a lot better than 3.5 billion or 3.3 billion, because at the above 3 billion, you really start to worry about corn under $3, but at $3 billion, maybe the lows are just $3 and not like 280 or 270 or something like that. If we do, and also too, if the market is concerned, let's say it does stay hot and dry, and even though we may get a regular yield, if the market's ever really concerned about a 175 or a 174, we lose 5 bushels off production or something like that, that is the chance to get to 360 or 370 during the summer months on December. So the next couple months... I'm sorry, the next couple of weeks are critical for corn. Everyone that trades that market is me looking at the 6 to 10 day first, just because that's the most reliable forecast. You get to the 10 to 14 and anything beyond. Honestly, I've seen anything beyond a 14-day forecast. I mean, it's interesting. I just kind of like to take a look at it just from like a purely just a curiosity, right? But I don't put any weight in it. So it's really the 6 to 10-day that usually you can have some confidence in. It can change in the monthly, you know, in the weather runs change a couple of times a day, but the 6 to 10 day is going to be interesting. So the way it looks right now is that we're going to be dry and we'll be cool probably through the weekend. Next week it's hot and dry. And then towards the end of next week, it looks like rain's coming. So we got to make sure there's precipitation and we got to make sure that there's that ridge doesn't form. If that doesn't happen, then we are going to have a good crop around trendline or better. If the rain stops for the next 4 to 6 weeks, that's going to be a whole other story. So if you're heavily short the new crop, always remember you can always buy some new crops in July just to hedge against it. And I have no problem doing it during these kinds of time periods, like these very crucial development, for the crop. So if you think you're a little too heavy on the short side, nothing wrong with buying some July here for the next couple of weeks. Whether it's against cash sales, HTAs, sales on the board, you can be short December and long July. That's not a big deal. So that's kind of our views there. For soybeans, it's going to be tough to get through $9. It's just going to be hard. You take a look at the balance sheet. You take a look at the demand, the fighting between the United States and China. It's going to be tough. I mean, if we are below, especially if the acres go up, I still think we're going to go to 85 million. I really think we're going to be 85 million soybeans and 95 million corn. But that's still going to keep ending stocks around 400, and it's going to keep soybeans in the high eights, mid to high eights at harvest time. It's really hoping for a $9 or more rally, but I just can't see it right now. But you never know. The weather certainly can be, weather is going to be crucial, for that crop development too. So those are our thoughts on the market right now. If you have any questions for me, let's see. The livestock, I think the livestock's tough to trade. I still like buying. The only thing I like doing is kind of the long-term trading right now. I still like buying December hogs under 50. I still like buying December live cattle under 100. I've been over that a lot of times, put in a lot of emails why. My views have not changed on that. I still like bean oil. I still like rice, so I'm happy to talk to anyone about that, like why we still like it. I know it's been fluctuating. They've been generally good trades for us this year. I'm going to stick with them. I still like the long-term story of the bean oil, and if we have to roll from July to October, we will. And same with rice. That's a story for another time. So everyone have a great day. If you need me, let me know. I'll be around. And again, my number here is 312-706-7610. My email is cturner@danielstrading.com. If you know anyone who would like this podcast or the newsletter, please recommend it. And if you're listening to the podcast and you like it, you can review it on iTunes. And if you want to check out Turner's Take newsletter, all you have to do is text on your phone. Just take out your phone and text number 33777-33777. Put in the message Turner. T-U-R-N-E-R. Follow the instructions and you can check out Turner's Take newsletter. Alright, thanks a lot everyone. Have a great day and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.